Hey, as promised, everybody, here I am with Kevin, and we have got a few subjects to discuss. We've just been talking about in the previous stream about Virginia's book coming out today and the allegations against Prince Andrew. So that's going to be one of our topics. I mean, he's really cooked, folks. How he's ever going to come back, I have no idea. But there's also allegations against the Prime Minister that not only R-worded Virginia, but brutalized her to the point where she thought she was going to die. Absolutely disgusting. Anyway, Kevin is going to be talking about those things. And we've also got updates on the case and Pope Leo, etc. So huge thank you for coming back, Kevin.
Thanks. Thanks, Sean. A lot's been happening, including the successful arrest of two of the convicted criminals. They are Catholic Cardinal Reinhard Marx and a former head of the United Church in Canada, Gary Patterson, both of whom are Ninth Circle participants. We actually prompted the police to help in the arrest of these people. And but what's significant about that is that they also, the police preemptively went after one of them on charges of molesting children. So what we find this tends to happen when we're beginning to close in on these people, the police will arrest them on some charge, which they're then let go of in order to avoid us actually detaining them. And so you can expect these kind of tactics. But in a broader sense, there's even more stuff coming out. And let's begin with Andrew, since you've already raised him. And that's what's in the news right now. Just want to say before that none of this is sensationalized. It's all based on fact and evidence that's being processed through a court of law. So it isn't just my opinion. These are uncontested facts under the law. And also, things we've discovered are even more horrendous than we figured. These people we're dealing with are monsters. You know, for example, I'll just give you one taste of that. One of the things that has come out recently is in the course of these ritual sacrifices of children, they actually lay bets. There's a betting agency that goes on, and they put down bets to see how long their child is going to last under torture. So, I mean, it's a big game for these people, and that's what you need to understand. And yet they also reflect kind of a bigger evil we're all involved in. I want to get to that later in the show. But in terms of what's happened with Andrew, you know, the old thousands of year old tactic by the elites is you throw one of their own to the crowd to placate them. And clearly this is what's happened with Andrew. He's stripped of titles and that because he's about to be arrested. And he's actively being pursued, like all of them, by common law court sheriffs, police we've deputized, and actually paramilitary people who we've trained to help in these arrests and takedowns. And most importantly, the shutting down of the Ninth Circle ceremonies. And to flag something very important, this October 31st, what we know as Halloween, is Samhain, the Celtic New Year. It's a high point in the satanic calendar. And we know that the Ninth Circle has shifted their planned ceremonies on that night to two places I'm going to talk about. I sent you the pictures of them. And, you know, we'll get into that. So, you know, they've set up Andrew as the fall guy, basically. They have to strip him of his titles. That way the crown isn't implicated. When he's carted off to prison or to another case or whatever, not being, you know, having any crown title in that, they insulate themselves. And this is, you know, part of what's going on. But also, it's really important to know, if you think back a bit about the William Coombs case, how we proved that King Charles had put out a kill order against the native man in British Columbia, William Coombs, who witnessed Queen Elizabeth take those 10 children away, and they were never seen again. Well, one of the sources of that was a person within Charles's own security retinue, connected to this Major Johnny Thompson, who is the guy, the chief of security still for King Charles. And there was another assistant of his who has been a source of information of this with the court. We've been approached. Remember, we posted a $10,000 reward for anyone leading, you know, providing information leading to this. One of these people received this money and in return provided the information, which is giving us a real insight into the whole drama behind the British crown, basically how it's crumbling as we speak, not just for, you know, being exposed in all these criminal activity, but the fact that the bigger picture has to do with money. Of course, you always follow the money in this. It's about an attempt, and this is part two of what I'm going to talk about, the attempt by the Trump administration working with Cardinal Timothy Dolan to break up the group around the present Pope Prevost and Pietro Parolin. They're the pro-China faction. The present Pope and the secretary, former Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin, they brokered this moving of Vatican funds, and it turns out Mormon church funds, in the direction of Beijing. Well, Trump wants that money. You know, it's a big geopolitical battle. And he's put up his own guy, Cardinal Timothy Dolan. He's the one who Trump wanted in his present as Pope. And it turns out that they are going after Trump and Dolan are going after the present Pope Leo and Parolin to, you know, to lever them out. This is a repeat of what happened with Ratzinger, because the Bergoglio faction in Spain helped notified that Ratzinger that he would face arrest if he came to Spain, because of the evidence we had shared with the Spanish government in our first common law court case in 2012. And as a result, Ratzinger stepped out, was forced out. Bergoglio stepped in as Pope Francis. Same thing is happening now. Trump wants to pull another such maneuver to force out Prevost, Pope Leo, and put in Dolan. The problem is Timothy Dolan is now implicated in ordering the killing of priests in America. And I sent you a photo, which apparently we can't post online, but is posted on my Telegram site. And that's, if you go to t.me/murderbydecree, you'll see it posted there. This was a man, Joe Moreno, who was a priest in Buffalo, New York. He defied the Catholic policy of crimen that says when children are trafficked, no one is to talk about it. This priest put together all this evidence he had about how children are being trafficked and killed in the Buffalo diocese. He was on his way. This was on Monday, September 15th, 2012. He was to go to Washington, D.C., meet with the FBI and this former papal nuncio in Washington, Vigano, Carlo Vigano. And Saturday, he's found dead in his church office, two bullet holes to the back of the head. Before the coroner can even arrive, the Buffalo police announce it as a suicide. You know, he somehow shot himself twice in the back of the head, even though his left hand was deformed. So he would have had to bring his right hand around. Try to do it. Try to bring your right hand around to the back, left side of the back of your head. It doesn't work. And yet the media, that they all report this guy as having committed suicide. And he was about to take this blockbuster evidence to the top officials in Washington. So this is the dirt that Timothy Dolan, we have on Timothy Dolan, because the trail links back to him. We have witnesses who heard him say that priest is not going to live out the week. And so here's, in this bigger geopolitical drama, one of Trump's buddies who he wants in Rome has in fact got blood on his hands. And he's actually, like all the others on the list, they've been criminally convicted according to due process in a court of law. He's a wanted felon. Anyone can arrest this guy on site. And that's why all these guys who haven't been arrested yet are all lying low. They've all dropped out of sight, you know, including Mark Rutte, the head of NATO. So, I mean, this is with the thing with the British royals, the whole maneuver in Rome and Washington, and this new evidence coming out of Buffalo, New York. You know, it's just adding up more and more. And, you know, this is what the success of what we're doing, and that it's prompting these insiders to come forward, and we have them very much on the run. They just can't create that appearance. You know, they have to create the appearance like they've done in England, which is, well, we're getting rid of the dirty apple, you know, the bad apples, and now we're going to have a clean shop again, just like Bergoglio was brought in to create that image, you know, after Ratzinger. So anyway, that's kind of a general thing. We can get into questions and more of the details.
Yeah, so I'd just like to cover one of your earlier points then about Prince Andrew. Because I remember when Bill Clinton's brother, Roger Clinton, got arrested with drugs, with the white powder, and the cop knew he had to get it out in the public quick, otherwise it would all have been covered up. And they had a crisis meeting, and they decided to make him do some prison time and use that to say to the public, yeah, look, we're not above the law. It's justice for everybody. So same with Prince Andrew. We've got Prince Andrew now, who ignored his own royal protection officers when they told him not to go out there with Jeffrey. Here's what he's convicted of. He overrode them, just thinking he was so superior and smart he could get away with it. He overrode them, but he's not that smart. And it's come out now as well about the emails that are showing that months after Jeffrey was convicted the first time, Andrew knew, not only knew, was saying, "We're in it together. I can't wait for more playtime." How sick in the head is that?
Right. Well, you know, that it's got to be remembered, these are just the tactics you use when you're trying to draw heat off yourself. And the bigger problem is that these things are going on at every level. It's, you know, even I, after all this years of work, even I was appalled by the extensiveness of this network. It pervades every level of society. And these guys, you know, the obvious bad guys, wouldn't be able to do it unless all of us were somehow complicit, either through indifference, by paying for it. You know, one of the groups I'm working with are a group of Catholics in Buffalo, New York, who have, including the sister of this Joe Moreno, who was assassinated in his office, they killed him in plain sight. Just like, you know, when they wipe out, when I was thrown into the church and I was blacklisted, the first deep and only defrocking of a United Church minister in its history. You're killed in plain sight. They make an example of you. And they did that with Joe. They said, look, he broke Crimin. He talked about the child trafficking. Look what happens to him. It's a way to scare everybody and keep them silent. And it usually works. But that's beginning to break. You know, one of the things that we connected to this is, you remember one of the people convicted is Keith Schiller, Trump's former bodyguard. If you look at, there's an image of him in some of the stuff I sent you. I want to actually go through these images.
Yep, yeah, I'm gonna get those images for you.
Yeah.
So we got, is that the guy pointing that stood next to Trump pointing?
That's actually Dolan. Let's start with him. That's an interesting picture. That's the Trumps with Cardinal Dolan, who put the kill order out on one of his own priests, Joe Moreno. And oh no, that's the two of them. There's another picture. That's Schiller on the left and Trump. Former bodyguard, chief of security in the first administration, his first term of office. Then he went on to form a thing called the KS Global Security Group, which provides, you know, protection for corporate and government people all over the world. We found out, in fact, that through Interpol contacts, that KS Global Group is heavily involved in the human trafficking network. So, you know, under the guise of protecting corporate officials and that, they're in fact providing children to them. They're putting hits out on the enemies of various corporate heads and everything. That's his little nest egg he set up after he left, you know, the job of protecting Trump. He was also hired by the Republic National Committee. They gave him like $250,000 to provide security at the 2020 Republican convention, you know. So, I mean, it's the old boys club. But go to that other picture of the Cardinal standing with the Trumps. There he is. That's Dolan on the left. And he's a good friend of Trump. They're both participants in some of these ritual activities we talked about, going back to at least the 1990s. And, you know, see, people like Dolan wedged their way in because he was early on trained in the Vatican diplomacy department. And he made connections, you know, with people all over the world. It's like when you're a lawyer, you've got the inside track on everybody. Well, it's the same with the church. They're legally protected. They're allowed to operate as a law unto themselves. And so they need to periodically flaunt the fact that, look, we're untouchable. Look, we're standing here with the president. But like I say, the evidence on Dolan is becoming more and more conclusive. More Catholics are coming forward. We have a whole file on this guy and his connection to not only ordering hits on people in the church, but actually trafficking children himself. There's an eyewitness of a former Catholic altar boy who was raped by this guy very sadistically. You know, so it's voluminous, this evidence. Our problem is that we don't have the means to get it out. And it's completely swamped whenever you put any of this stuff up on the, quote, mainstream. It's blocked. It's shut down. I think right after the first interview we did, I think we had something like close to 500,000 hits. And we must have reached some kind of critical mass because I forget which it was. One of the major media, Reuters, they did a fact checking on Kevin Annett, which is their way of putting the kiss of death on somebody. They fact checked and basically they said, very unjournalistically, without providing evidence, they said, this man's a liar. Don't believe anything he says. period. That's all. I mean, that's like what a guilty person says when their back is to the wall. It's not true. I'm not a crook, but no evidence, right? So, you know, it shows the impact it has when they start fact-checking you, but they never address the evidence. It's always about the messenger. And a little side note on that, we talked about the two bullets to the back of the head. If you watch a movie called Kill the Messenger, it's about Gary Webb, who was a West Coast American journalist who broke the story of the CIA bringing crack cocaine into America during the 80s to fund their illegal wars after Congress had cut off their funds. Gary Webb broke the story, and he got put through the entire, you know, kind of blackballing process. He lost his job and everything. They went after his family. One day, he's found dead with two bullets in the back of the head on the left side, exactly the way Joe Moreno was killed. Now, different theories about that. Some say it's a CIA calling card. You know, in their black operations, they often do that to say, hi, it's us, right? So the involvement in the CIA and in the Vatican, it goes way back to the 80s, when they were using the Vatican in Poland to fund the Solidarity Movement, the anti-Soviet Solidarity Movement in Poland, with the help of John Paul II, the Polish Pope, who inducted Prevost, and we got a picture of that too, inducted Prevost into the present Pope, into the Ninth Circle, 1978. And so that CIA-Vatican link is very deep, and they easily provide contract killers. He's probably the one who killed Joe Moreno, some CIA contract killer, so they couldn't trace it to Dolan. That's the present Pope Leo when he was a young man, 23, I believe, in 1978. Right after he took his vow as a priest, he also took it to the Ninth Circle, and two of our witnesses from Germany said they were present when the two of those people were at the Ninth Circle ceremony, that where a young Italian boy and a young girl from Germany were both sacrificed by these guys. And so it was his induction, and he then became a safe candidate for the Pope, right? That's how it works, right? So anyway, that was a lot of kind of things to mention, but it's all relevant. It's all kind of part of this beast we're exposing, right?
Yeah, and I just want to thank all the people watching and sharing. We've got over 2,000 people watching live right now. And all the links for Kevin's Telegram, books, all the other stuff he's doing are in the description box if you're watching this on YouTube. So please support his work. There's one of his books. Yeah. And thanks for all the questions coming in as well. I also wrote about Gary Webb in my book, Clinton, Bush, and CIA Conspiracies. So check that one out as well, folks. All right. So we've got a question here then.
Oh, about... before we jump into the question, Sean, do you mind showing... Yeah. Those two other pictures of the NATO headquarters and those churches.
Yeah. This looks like an SS symbol.
Exactly. Symbol. Well, and what that is, it's the NATO headquarters in Brussels. It was opened in 2016, but it's the former Belgian Air Force Base. The Belgian Air Force Base, is, according to Toast Nienhaus, was a prime area for Ninth Circle, not only killings, but experimentation. We found the same thing in Canada. All the inner hospitals were always built on Canadian military land because it's protected. You know, like when TOS was taken to Melbourne, Australia, it was to a military base to be used and, you know, experimentally and also put through the horrendous tortures. So they did a paint job on the roof. And look at that. Those are the two lightning bolt SS symbols. These are not, you know, this is not accidental. And the head of NATO now, Mark Rutte, has not been heard of recently. He, I believe, also is in hiding because that's another kind of plot within a plot. The Chinese want him out, obviously, because NATO and Russia could go to war over the next couple of years. And Rutte has a long background connected to the Ninth Circle. So the kind of pro-China faction of the present Pope and Parolin want to lever Rutte out using the dirt they have on him from the Ninth Circle ceremonies. And don't forget, these rituals are all filmed and, you know, sold very lucratively for snuff films, but also used to blackmail the participants. So, you know, what we see as the thing falls apart is they start ripping each other apart. They start attacking each other, trying to get themselves off the hook. This is, you know, one of the scenes. And the reason I put that up there is the evidence from Interpol contacts and others is leading us to the NATO headquarters as another location that the Ninth Circle just shifted their operations to. So we think on Samhain, this is going to be one of the places where, you know, feeding off that energy that's already there, they're going to be doing the ceremonies October 31st at midnight.
We've got another image here.
Yes, that's the Timothy Dolan's home church, which is not in America at all, even though he's an American church official. It's the Our Lady of Guadalupe a Monte Mario, which is in Rome, about 20 minutes from the Vatican. And it's the home church of Timothy Dolan. Again, another spot that people in America saw in records showing that there had been Ninth Circle ceremonies held here. We think, again, under Dolan's aegis, it's going to be another place on October 31st where these rituals are going to be held.
Wow. All right, so yeah. Going over to some of the questions then. Jenny, yeah. If all 12 were found guilty in the Berlin court, what happens now?
I was 13, and it wasn't in Berlin, although there were researchers all over Germany, because that's where a cluster of the Ninth Circle survivors live, in South Germany. That's why Bernhard Marx, the Archbishop of Munich, is at the center of that whole kind of German end. But what's happening is, as I've been described, two of them have already been arrested by regular police under our pressure. They're being actively hunted right now. And what when you've got a lot of power around you, it may be hard immediately to arrest you, but they do all this damage control. They throw, like Andrew, they throw one of their own to the wolves. We're going to see that happen in the Catholic Church more. You're going to see more resignations than that. But most importantly, it gives other people the confidence to say, okay, we're going to support you. When you shut down these rituals, like we did in Montreal that time, October 31st, we are going out to these sites to shut down the rituals. And we're going to be able to get more support on that, including from the cops, because they see which way the wind is blowing. So it's a long process, but it's going to happen more and more. If you only look at the 3-minute view, it doesn't seem that anything's happening. If you have the 30-year view, and the 10-year view, then you see that, in fact, we're having a tremendous impact. So I would say kind of broaden your horizons on this, folks, and then you'll see the impact we're having, right?
So in light of all of this, you're being asked, how are you feeling and getting on?
I'm extremely exhausted. After.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and it's fortunately, my bodyguard, Josef, kind of runs herd on me like a mother hen. So I've been taking, more time off. We have a number of, like the place I am right now, very pretty secure safe house that we operate out of. I'm in better shape than some of the people who've been working, with our recent court. We've had 4 people die who were either informants or researchers and die blatantly. You know, it was obvious kills. And we're preparing the court's going to prepare kind of a statement about the fallout from this, but that's going to be after we do the main job, which is to stop these people and stop these ritual ceremonies. But yeah, I'm hanging in, everything has a life expectancy, but you got to fight every moment, every day, and your impact can be much greater that way if you just, instead of just dabbling in this issue, right?
You had a few people ask about Charles and Leo meeting. It says here in the news, Pope Leo and King Charles will join in a historic economical prayer for creation at the Vatican Sistine Chapel on October 23rd. People are asking just for more thoughts on this. What's the agenda, basically?
Well, I mean, it's a continuation of what his mother did, which should have got her bounced off the throne. She violated her coronation oath by signing a thing called the Holyrood Agreement in September 2010. And I know I was there in London. We were having a big protest, the Pope March, 20,000 people in London. Meanwhile, he and Liz are up in at Holyrood Castle in Scotland, bringing the Church of England back into the Roman Church officially. Now, of course, they're not going to say that, but they're now governed by all the same policies of crimen, how no one is to tell the police about children being harmed, all of that stuff. No doubt they're doing that at Sistine Chapel. There's undoubtedly going to be a ritual there. They're both going to be involved in sacrificial rituals. I think probably Prevost, Pope Leo, is doing that to shore up his own position because he knows that Trump is gunning for him, Trump and Dolan. He knows that Trump and Dolan are trying to bring him down, so he wants to shore up any support he can from anywhere. That would be kind of my initial estimate of that. But we're going to have people there. Our Italian people are going to definitely be there to try to put the cuffs on both of them, or, you know, create a big kerfuffle in so doing, right?
Yeah, thanks for all the questions coming in, folks. Keep them coming. You're getting asked, do you think that Prince Andrew and Charles are using religion to hide behind?
That's what religion exists for. You know, the biggest, you know, when you look historically, thousands of years ago, the first states arose as religious states. You know, like the temple arose as the powers, because how do you get a lot of ordinary people working in the fields, how do you get them to believe in one guy and give allegiance to one man? It's the eternal, you know, question mark. Why is humanity enslaved so easily and look to leaders, right? Well, it's because early on we had wired in, these people are better than you. They're closer to God. You know, the eternity is on their side, and you're going to get struck down and go to hell if you don't, unless you obey them. You know, either in secular terms, you go to jail, or religiously, you go to hell. You know, so state and church have always been one and the same. They've always needed each other, whether it's Protestant, Catholic, any religion in the world. You need that tie with the state, because the church, as Martin Luther said, the church raises good citizens for the state. The state deals with the enemies of the church. It's mutual back scratching. So, you know, they're one. You got to see them as one beast. And that's certainly what we proved in Canada over the years, showing that close connection. In the Indian schools, how church and state operate as tag teams, like they do in all of these crimes, right?
Thanks, KP. I've got a question, and that is, why do these royal families always claim they are descended from the gods?
For the reason I just said, because, you know, there's that behind every crime, there's not only a big fortune, you know, there's also the big lie. Which is, we have the right to do this because we're not bound by the laws that the rest of you have to follow. And once you realize that, then you realize there can be no justice in your system, in the existing system. The system exists to support that lie and murder. And the only way you get justice is by doing it the way we've done it, which is operate outside their system and on your own terms. Not a lot of people know how to do that yet. And that's why we wrote this book, which is one of the ways that we're teaching you how to do that. And also, most importantly, by doing it and getting people engaged. Because we found all over the world, when we do these actions, the bad guys fall back. The so-called, you know, all-powerful church and state and all their corporate buddies, they're cowards. They hate being confronted to the face because, you know, we've proven that they are just human and can fall just like the rest of us, right?
So Nikki wants to know whether you've read Virginia's book that's just come out, Nobody's Girl.
Virginia Guffer?
Yeah. It's just come out today. It's like, no, the biggest story in the world, because she's detailing about Prince Andrew, a prime minister that brutalized her, billionaires that brutalized her, and it's everywhere. But if you get a chance, I've downloaded the audio book and I've been listening to it today. It's fantastic.
Well, it's posthumous, right? She died this last year. And, you know, commit suicide when she's in a child custody battle. Another one of Trump's victims, right?
Very fishy. So you've got a question about Trump that's just come in, because, you know, we've seen, they said they were going to release the Epstein files, and we've seen Trump and his cronies protect the Epstein files. And Ziva wants to know, how can we enlighten those who still think Trump is protecting kids?
Well, it's like saying, how do you tell a Catholic that God is not in a communion wafer and you don't get into heaven by paying money into the Vatican bank, right? You can't, you know, they're too wired in and too brainwashed. But there are some, and I've talked to former Trump bots, I call them, you know, that they're beginning to see what's happening. Yeah, and there is a certain percentage, and enough, if there was such a thing as called a free election, there's enough of a loss in his support that, you know, he wouldn't have got in. But the point is that it doesn't matter who's in, because we're talking about the same beast here. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's my take on it.
Well, let me just do a quick poll then. Viewers, in light of Trump protecting the Epstein files and, you know, probably going to release Ghislaine Maxwell early, put a one in the chat if you still have faith that Trump has got Virginia's mission and best interests at heart. Put a two in the chat if you think if Virginia was alive today, you know, she would be tweeting the hell out of Trump, having people meet Maxwell, releasing Maxwell early, Maxwell getting moved to a soft prison. And this is the complete opposite, basically, of what we were promised, because many of us had faith and we are absolutely disgusted. See, lots of twos coming in, lots of twos coming in. Yep, thank you.
Well, loss of faith is the first step towards enlightenment.
Yeah.
Blind faith.
We've got another question. The Catholic Church in Ireland is very much dying, but do you say these rituals happen under a different disguise?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it isn't just the church that they use to operate within and behind. You know, but they're just the most convenient, because psychologically, people find it hard to believe that Christians would do these things. Legally, the churches are above the law and are exempt from prosecution most times. And also, they have the backing of a hell of a lot of money. And so they will just shift. It's like, you know, in a sci-fi movie, the entity kind of leaves one body and goes into another. The issue isn't the possessed person, it's the entity. And that brings up a whole other question of how you fight this thing spiritually, which we're also doing, which we don't talk about too much, because it's hard to put into words and it might get interpreted the wrong way in religious terms. It's like why we don't take a political stance, because then you're labeled and people's minds shut down about what you're talking about. But there is a spiritual fight going on as well. And you're seeing that reverberating all over the place. It's, you know, and I had the experience of that when I did the exorcism in downtown Rome, October 2009. And all hell broke loose after that, including the tornado in downtown Rome the next morning, right? So these forces are working through what we do in the material world. And I feel it coming around. So it's a sign of hope.
That's an interesting question, Kevin. From Young Totem, does Kevin ever get legal responses or from security intelligence when he puts a call out for arrest under the international court?
We didn't used to, but it's increased. And like I mentioned already, we have Interpol sources. We've had police in four countries now, in Canada, America, Italy, and Germany. Australia and Germany. So America, Canada, Australia, and Germany. Police in all those countries and intel people have provided us with a lot of evidence. We had, even years ago, and there was an Ottawa policeman, Kel Gadban, who assisted in the takedown of a Ninth Circle ceremony at Marie Rendebon Cathedral in Montreal. He was found dead 2 weeks later in the Ottawa police station. Again, suicide. There's a price to pay, and cops know that. It's like a soldier in war. They know the cost of taking a stand. It'll cost you your life. But more people are coming forward, and so we do have that support. And that's why we have these Ninth Circle people even more worried now, and that's why they're running for cover so quickly.
Almost 3,000 watching live now, folks. Please support Kevin at all of his links and his books in the description box. So when legal letters come in, Kevin, what kind of demands do they make of you, and how do you respond?
When what comes in?
Do you get legal letters coming in?
You mean cease and desist and threats?
Like that, yeah.
Never. They don't want me in a court of law. They don't want this thing. I'll tell you, Sean, since I first went public with this in January 1995, after I got sacked by the United Church, I have never been sued in 30 years. Now, if you were any of these guys and everything I was saying was bullshit, wouldn't you have sued me long ago? Wouldn't they provide counter evidence? In all these years, I've never seen one bit of counter evidence to refute everything we're doing. They just attacked me. They taught me that when I did my year of law at UBC Law School in Vancouver. They said, in legal process class, they said, basic rule of courtroom law, if the evidence is on your side, you argue the evidence. If the evidence is against you, you attack the credibility of the witness, because what else do you have? So no evidence, because it's all true. Just go after Kevin Annett. You know, I mean, as if I'm the issue, right? They call it controversializing in intel manuals. They say you controversialize an issue by steering away from the evidence onto the individual making the claim and saying he's crazy, people have, you know, refuted and blah, 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 to distract from the evidence, which is irrefutable. Because once you see the evidence, you realize my life has to change. I can't be part of the sick child killing system anymore. And that's the last thing rulers want, for people to come to that conclusion, start acting on it, right?
So Indie Girl wants to know if you're familiar with an Australian woman who gave testimony to the media and courts as a child, witnessing politicians and an actor unalive a child in a ninth circle ritual in Australia.
Her name?
Is not given.
I know who you're talking about, and yes. As a matter of fact, we've worked with her in her contacts after one of our Australian researchers, Georgina Cameron, was disappeared.
All right. Next question then is, let me see. Has anyone of power been convicted of crimes via international courts?
By the other courts, you mean, like International Criminal Court or the International Court of Justice? No. In terms of genocide, in the last 75 years or 80 years now that the Genocide Convention has been in place, it's only been applied twice, to Rwanda and Serbia, right? These kind of middling powers off to the side. So they went after Slobodan Milosevic, or they go after someone like Saddam Hussein, right? But there's no mandate in any international court except ours to go after institutions and to go after the root of the problem of genocide and mass murder in this. It's set up to target individuals so the system can continue. Get everyone focused on how bad this person is without seeing what's breeding him and protecting him and allowing it to go on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next question is, what does Kevin say about Canadian Prime Minister Carney?
Just more of the same. I mean, there's no difference between what he did and what his predecessor or replacement will do. Canada is completely in the China camp. It's essentially a Chinese fief. Its resources, its infrastructure, it's all owned by China now. And so is the entire West Coast of North America. You know, he is going along with Trump on everything now, bringing in new border restrictions in Canada and all that. And so it's all designed to, you know, we're seeing, like Orwell predicted, the creation of these three power blocks. Canada's heading, like with the present Vatican leadership, they're heading into the Chinese camp. And so, you know, what he does can be predicted, you know, and that's the way in which to see these politicians. Anyway, they all take a personal oath of allegiance to Charles, nobody else. They're his personal bonded servant. He's not accountable to anybody. Whoever you elect, a member of parliament, whether it's true in England or Canada or any Commonwealth country, you're signing away your authority to a criminal regime. To a criminally convicted, Charles Windsor is now a criminally convicted felon. And when you take your oath of allegiance to him, you're complicit in a crime. So, I mean, it indicts the entire political system in any Commonwealth country, right?
Frantar wants to know, was Emanuela Orlandi kidnapped by the Ninth Circle?
Go to one of our previous interviews. We go into detail about one of the German survivors was at the ceremony in 1982, or no, I'm sorry, it was July 83 when she vanished, that teenager, Emmanuel Orlandi. This eyewitness saw her at another Ninth Circle ceremony with Prévost, again, when he was still a priest, and John Paul II. She was tortured with electricity, raped, the usual standard, but she wasn't killed. She was being programmed and trained as one of their operatives. So she was sent out in the field either for entrapment purposes, or, you know, assassination, sleeper agents of some kind. We don't know whatever happened to her, but the witness says that she knew that she was then sent to Switzerland to start working for the Ninth Circle around Germany. So that's some of the information we have on Emanuela.
Sounds like some kind of MK Ultra operation.
It's completely integrated with MK Ultra. That's why the CIA does hits for the Vatican, like that poor guy in Buffalo, New York, likely, because the MK Ultra research used these Ninth Circle ceremonies early on to test the endurance of human endurance for pain, how well the mind continues to operate in a state of trauma and fear and terror. So, you know, a military need that information, right? But drug testing protocols, it's what brings in Pfizer. You know, Albert Bourla, one of the other convicted guys, CEO of Pfizer, all of them involved in this because it overlaps, you know, the military and medical genocide, all this stuff. It's all part of the Ninth Circle protocol. It's why it keeps going so well, right?
Yeah, Pfizer, who Trump just gave $70 million of taxpayers' money to, sending Pfizer stock through the moon. Susan wants to know, are all churches involved, Kevin?
It's like all priests in the Catholic Church knows it goes on. They all know it goes on. They look the other way. They have to, or they end up dead or out. It's true with all the other churches. And we know, for example, the World Council of Churches, which is the umbrella body for all Protestant churches in the world, refuses to speak out in any way against the Vatican. In fact, they're funded through Vatican Bank. And we had the records. They vanished. One of the things that got wiped out during the cyber attacks in our early court in 2012, we had all this financial evidence showing the Vatican Bank pumping lots of money into the World Council of Churches. It's like what happened in the JFK election. A lot of the Baptist ministers in America didn't want to vote for a Catholic. So Joe Kennedy got all the local cardinal in the West Virginia primaries and the heavily Protestant areas in America. All the Baptist ministers got hundreds of bucks from the local Catholic cardinal. And guess what? They all backed Jack instead of Hubert Humphrey. So, I mean, it's a standard, you know, what you do. You just buy the politicians, you buy the churches, because they know ultimately a lot of these other churches are involved in the same crimes. The United Church, the Presbyterians, Methodists. You can't touch a church who had any missionary involvement and not find these crimes. So, I mean, yeah, they know they're implicated as well. And the smaller ones are too scared to speak out against the bigger ones, you know.
So Rod wants to know, Kevin, are all the witnesses whose testimony led to the current convictions currently still alive?
No, some have died.
No. Oh, damn.
And we're still trying to find out how. One of the German witnesses and somebody, I better not say, because we're still looking at that. But yeah, there's always blowback.
Right? Oh dear, sorry to hear that. Okay, next question is, why does the Vatican always vote in favor of Israel at the UN? I didn't even know they did.
They don't take sides, they take both sides. That's the thing about the Vatican, they back both horses in any conflict. Why? Well, they profit from it. They're a big investor in the arms industry. And they can appear to be the mediator all the time, right? But they'll blow whichever way right now leads in China's direction. If the coup that Dolan and Trump are planning happens and Dolan is in as Pope, it's going to start switching the other way and the level of conflict is going to go through the roof because then there'll be a serious fight between China and the Vatican and NATO. So could spark a war? Who knows? I mean, it's just that game, that thousands-year-old game going on, right?
Yeah, you got a question about Dolan. Let me see if I can find it in the pile. Will Dolan support the Muslim Mir when he inevitably gets elected on 11-4?
I don't know. Like I said, it's if it is... If he is going to support it, it's for the not only his own personal situation of having to avoid arrest and avoid any more of this stuff coming out, but for the bigger geopolitical thing I'm talking about, right?
So Jenny wants to know, has mainstream reported anything about the court case that you are aware of?
Corporate media, never. They're not allowed to. And they're owned. I mean, they're owned by the very big pharma and, you know, the other corporate interests that we're going after. So they haven't felt the need yet, like they did after that first big interview with Sean, to go after me, right? Because it'll never be about the issue. It'll always be about me or some other person who's come forward just to discredit, just to attach fear to our name so that people won't look at what we're bringing out, right?
YouTube has suggested to me some interviews you've done, Kevin, with other independent journalists. Do you want to give a shout out to them, to our viewers?
Which concerning
you've done interviews with other independent journalists.
Yeah.
Do you want to let the viewers know about those independent journalists to give them some support?
There's the Imagination Podcast in America, a woman called Emma. There's some folks in England. I better check with some of these folks whether before I announce them, because they'd be concerned about, they asked me to be a bit circumspect about mentioning them. So I want to check with them before I mention who they are. But, you know, it's, there have been independent media doo-doo, you know, who have covered this. But the problem is that even the independent so-called alternative media, they are very loath to take on the church ever. You know, I find it very rare that anyone's willing to criticize the Vatican, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's sensible what you just said about asking them first. All right, so Young Totem, the structure of Canada and calls for arrest put out by Kevin. Do lawyers from respective parties try to get Kevin with defamation? Like you said earlier, isn't it, that you did it, they don't want it all no. Dirty laundry out in court.
Defamation, you have to prove. You have to prove that your livelihood or life has been damaged by this nasty person. How can they prove that? It's my life that's been damaged and destroyed by them. Why would they want to get that into court? They don't. They just do the fear and smear campaign in the background, you know. And it works very effectively because people want to believe bad shit about people, especially a white male, right, who was in the church. I'm a perfect target for a lot of people in this politically correct era. So, bring it on. I hope they hit me with a defamation suit. I would love that. Then in examination, what you do in a bona fide court, you sit down in examination and look at everybody's evidence. I'll say, great. I want to subpoena all the evidence the Vatican has on me, or the Canadian government or, you know, Homeland Security has on me and the work we're doing. That'd be great. So this is a formal invitation to please sue me for defamation.
Dak wants to know, is there anyone to carry the torch if something happens to you?
There is, but not as effectively, because people don't know, they haven't lived. I'm kind of a survivor of Atlantis, unfortunately, in this, because I'm the only one, besides a few, very few individuals who are all tend to be in hiding, especially some of the indigenous eyewitnesses. Only I know the story and the history. And that's why, you know, in interviews, it's hard to kind of encapsulate everything from all these years of experience. So what I'm trying to do is summarize it and teach lessons like in these books, right? The Common Law Training Manual, this kind of consolidating my experience. We're working on a documentary which is going to try to sum up this whole fight over decades and the lessons we've learned, the bigger lessons about the system that's creating this. I want to get that out before I'm taken out, because I will be one day. I mean, and that's not paranoia speaking, it's just a fact. They don't eventually let these things carry on, you know, and they killing people in plain sight is the best way to do it, like they did with that priest Joe Moreno, you know, obvious kill, and the police obviously covering it up, saying you won't have any support if you try to go to court. Police are backing the killers. So, you know, that's why I live every day knowing it could be my last, but that charges us up, not just in terms of our determination, but how much we can appreciate every day, you know, the beauty of drawing breath every day and being able to carry on this fight. I deeply appreciate that now. And it's because my life is in danger. So that's why I say to people who get afraid, there's no reason to be afraid, because what can they do ultimately? Take your life. It doesn't stop the truth, right?
And Kevin has had multiple attempts on his life. All right, so next question then. And thanks for all your questions, folks. If you haven't missed your question, keep putting them in. We've got about 10 minutes or so before we get to the hour, and we've got the Thai prison podcast coming. All right, so has Kevin been in touch with Eric Karlstrom, researcher on gang stalking MKUltra?
Nope. Send him my email or send him mine.
Does Kevin know about the connections with the Ninth Circle and secret technology and alien life?
I don't want to comment on the alien aspect, because it's fraught with a lot of sensationalism and assertions which haven't been proved. But the technology, as we've talked about, the mind control and biotechnology, bioweaponry, you know, you used deployed against all of us now, that was perfected for many years in the Ninth Circle and similar ceremonies overseen by these churches, right?
Yeah. All right, next question. Is there any hope for the future? From Trish.
Well, you know, I almost died when I was 2 years old in an oxygen tent. I have bronchial asthma. And after that, I mean, drawing a breath for me is an act of hope. Like, hey, I'm alive another day. This is great. And that got even more the case after my life was ripped apart and after I survived the poisoning in 2021, and which almost killed me. And, you know, I just, of course there's hope. If you don't have hope, why just pull the plug now, folks? I mean, you create the hope by what you do. It doesn't just fall like manna out of heaven. You've got to create the hope for others by standing outside these churches and calling them up, by going in and shutting them down, by arresting these people. That's how you recover life, right? And give hope to the people around you. I mean, I had a lot of Native people say to me, Kev, the only reason I haven't killed myself is because you're giving us hope. Not just even you, but the thing that you're sparking is giving me a feeling that I can do something against these people I've been afraid of my whole life, right? And there's nothing more. To see that in somebody's eyes who've been crushed their whole life, that's worth dying for. I mean, what is, you know, saving a child's life, is there anything more worth dying for, right?
Absolutely. You would think that it would be a priority of the justice system to protect the lives and safety of children. Well, it absolutely is not, and it's preposterous. These monsters get slaps on the wrist when they do indeed get caught, which is rare. It's insane. The whole thing's upside down. All right, so Goldie wants to know if the assassination of Charlie Kirk was a warning.
Yeah, what evidence we have is that being killed in Salt Lake City, then the Mormon leader, Russell Nelson, dying, probably killed right after that, the attack on the Mormon church in Michigan to distract, you know, away from a double hit. We think this is all tied into the Dolan-Trump plan to grab. You see, the Mormon wealth is almost equal to that of the Vatican Bank, over $167 billion in assets. And it's a big nest egg. And Kirk knew a lot about this stuff. He was an insider. He knew about Trump's connection to some of these deaths that had happened, including Virginia Gouffier's, those two Deutsche Bank officers. We've talked about this in previous interviews. So anyway, yeah, of course, it's all connected. And we're finally seeing some of the links, right?
Absolutely. All right. Next question is from Jane. The leaders on the list of 13, two have stepped down. Will they be arrested, i.e. Dolan, Welby?
They've started to arrest themselves. You know, when you step down, or when Ratzinger hid out in the Vatican until the day he died after he got convicted, that's how these people are stopped, because they stop themselves in fear, or because they're ordered to, because the other people don't want to be implicated, so they isolate them. You'll see more of that. But like I say, Dolan's tied in with these bigger forces. That they have a vested, the system has an interest in keeping people like him going. So it's up to all of us to change that, right?
So a question from Malcontent. Thank you for being a beacon of light in the darkness, Kevin. Seeing that Mark Rutte is one of the 13, has the previous NATO chief, Jens Stoltenberg, also been involved in these things?
I don't have specific information on that person. I don't know if it's a he or a she, but that name hasn't come up. But you can't move into a position as head of NATO so easily with this huge background Rutte had in the Ninth Circle. He was even named in the media as covering up the disappearance of children, of being implicated in those disappearances himself. How does someone like that move into the head of NATO unless there's an environment there comfortable for him and willing to protect him? So undoubtedly, the military grounds, church grounds are always the place where these crimes happen. And what better umbrella for this than NATO, right?
Don wants to know, can we arrest the entire parliament? I wish we could, folks, because they are just so phony, liars, psychopathic, mass murderers, enablers of all kinds. Yeah, they need to go.
Well, here's what we suggest in here, and through activities like the Republic of Albion that's been set up in England, the Republic of Canada, and around the world, attempts at this. You don't worry about the dinosaur. You don't worry about these guys. You know, they're going to collapse under their own weight of corruption and crime. You create your own. You create your own local assemblies. This is how our whole common law court movement got off the ground. You create your own citizen inquiries, your assemblies where you can pass laws. They've started to do that in America. You know, people, local, they're reviving the 1776 tradition. And I was just talking to some people in Pennsylvania today who have convened a citizens assembly that nullify Trump's executive orders and say, they don't govern us. We have no say in this law. We're not governed by it. We create our own laws. And that's how you take back power. And that's what gets them scared, not mere protest, which the system accommodates all the time. You can have a million people in the streets. It doesn't really change anything unless you're creating an alternative and pulling people out of this murderous system.
Is there any stopping the overwhelming evidence from ultimately taking down the Ninth Circle?
I don't know. I mean, that's up to us. Like, it'll be taken down to the extent that people move from word to action and feel in their heart the horror of what's going on to children as we speak and say, I just can't tolerate this. I can't be part of this anymore. I've got to do something about it. I hear that from people all the time. All these beautiful people reach out all the time and say, what do we do next? Okay, and then we start working with them. We have that network all over the world now. And that's why I say to people, you want to do something, contact us, especially preparing for Samhain, October 31st. There will be major ritual killings that night. And you have an obligation to try to stop that. And we've got the locations now of some of them. And please contact us.
Has Kevin heard of Donald Marshall, who claims to have observed Ninth Circle activity?
I have, yes. And I'm trying to recall what I knew. It's been a few years. But yeah, that people have mentioned him a lot in Canada.
Okay, next question is, let's see. Once they're arrested, what is going to happen to them, hopefully?
Well, locked away. For good. That's the sentence. The verdict, just to remind folks, and again, you can go to murderbydecree.com under ITCCS updates, look at the last three updates. It's got the verdict and sentence. And a majority of the judges voted for life imprisonment for all of them without possibility of parole and the seizure of their assets, nullifying their authority, like in the case of Rutte or Trump or any of them in governmental position. But a minority of two of the five magistrates, and it came that close. Two of the five magistrates voted for the death penalty in a minority decision for the people who have what's called command responsibility. That is, they had the power to stop these things and they didn't. So they are particularly guilty. It's actually what committed Charles I to the chopping block in 1649. He had command responsibility for the attempt to wipe out Parliament at the behest of Rome, basically. And that's why they executed him. So the attitude of the court was, we will take any measure necessary to stop the killing of children without restriction, any means necessary. And I won't go any further in commenting on that, but that's part of the mandate, that to protect the life of the children, any measure can and will be taken justifiably.
All right, last couple of minutes before the hour, folks, and we've got the Thai prison podcast. Rod wants to know, how's it going tracking down the location of these perps?
We know the location of many of them, but they've hid. They've moved to a new location. So we're relying on a context within these different agencies to help root out these criminals.
All right, next question. Knights of Columbus. We've done stuff on the Knights of Columbus. One second. I'm just trying to sort these questions out here. Are the Knights of Columbus the same as Freemasons?
Different beast, but who knows? I mean, you got to operate in that arcane world. And from what I've heard, like, for example, the one of the guys who tried to hit on me was the Knights of Columbus. The people who used to bust up our protests in Vancouver and Toronto were Knights of Columbus. They're kind of the immediate bodyguard of the Catholic Church. So I don't want to comment on stuff I don't have a lot of specific info on.
Oh, so the Knights of Columbus are bodyguards. How does that tie into the, what was it? Was it Opus Dei?
Santa Alianza, or is the name in Italy for their assassination group. The ones who possibly took out Charlie Kirk and some of the others, yep.
So Katz wants to know, how can they do this to kids and get away with it? They quite often do get away with it.
Because the system isn't run by morality, it's run by power. And the life of children are expendable. In fact, it's necessary to violate and harm children because that conditions the population to be cowed, subservient slaves. Working in the native world all the time on the government-run reservations, they target anyone who criticizes the chief in council. Their children get grabbed. Social services comes in, takes their children. You're not going to talk if your children are being trafficked to a lot of nasty people, right? It's a way you control people to say your children are expendable. That's why the mandatory sentence for child rape on average in countries is between 6 months and a year. It doesn't matter, even though individually it matters. The system operates that way in practice, and people got to wake up to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a class of people out there who are very powerful, and their morality is a complete inversion of our morality. If you go back and read the Marquis de Sade, these noble people go out and just do these torture and do all these things Kevin's describing, and they get off on it. It's like they feed or harvest in the terror and the energy from these people, and that they do it in rituals and they go hunting, and it's insane. All right, so let me see if we've got one final one then. Let's see, who are the two convicted that have been arrested? That's from trauma.
Gary Patterson, former moderator of the United Church, and Reinhard Marx, Cardinal of Munich. Police have them in custody, the latest I've heard, on separate charges, apparently, of harming children. But again, that could be a ruse to keep them out of our hands, because we're getting close with a number of those people. The lower level guys are easier to grab. And but again, citizen arrest, you have the power to stop these people at any point. And in fact, people have started doing that. It's something I haven't mentioned. There are individuals who've taken the ball and run with this. There have been attempts, I know in Canada and America both, people have gone into Catholic churches and walked out, put the priest, let him out, and filmed it and said, you're under arrest for being involved in this crimin policy of protecting child rapists. Then the goons show up and arrest him away from them. And that, I mean, there's confrontations, but that's what you want. You want to create those confrontations. That's how people start waking up to what they're in, right?
All right. Please support Kevin, all of his links. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion, Kevin?
Just what I said, that you got to end this on action. If you hear these things and don't act on it, it's kind of almost voyeuristic. You hear it, but you got to be part of the solution and not just a spectator in this, or you're complicit under the law. And so I would say, especially with Samhain coming up, contact us. The contact info is there on the site. And just thank everybody who's continuing to do this. We didn't get into some of the things. Maybe next time there's more on the Crown connection and what the new Archbishop of Canterbury is a woman. Again, distraction from Justin Welby, who she replaced. But I mean, there's a lot more we can get into. The file now on this is growing all the time with all the evidence. And we'll keep you posted. But go to murderbydecree.com under ITCCS updates for regular postings about what we're doing.
All right, Kevin, let's get ready for the next show with that content then. I'm going to let you go and close the show. Thank you, my friend. Cheers. All right, folks, like I said, all of Kevin's links are in the description box below this video if you're watching it on YouTube. We had 3,500 watching at the peak there. We've now got a two-hour hard-hitting studio podcast with Johnny Wheeler, who was up for the death penalty in Thailand, and he's going to describe his journey through that. So if you're interested in that, then this video will end, and it will take you right over to it. Enjoy. I'll be back tomorrow with the next Satanist.